Just plain wonderful. Now, we should be there. I do want to go check Facebook and make sure we are there. We are there. Apparently, if you get me on Facebook, let us know. That will give me peace of mind as I go right on. Okay, here we are. Thank you. I'm so glad. I want to be there. I want to get this subject across today. I don't really know what happened. It may have been me. It may not. Who knows? These machines, they are something else. And I don't always get them right. But I want to go back to the Bible. Let's go to the scripture now. We're right there. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Listen, you know that you were those Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. Wherefore, I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that he is Christ but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But the manifestation, now that's the gifts, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit are working in you. If the gifts of the Spirit are not working in you, you are not completely full of the Holy Ghost. You may have had a little experience. You may have had a time of blessing. You may have had a time when God came near you, but you never gave your vessel utterly to the Holy Ghost to use you, to take dominance of you, to be the president of your life. And so the gifts of the Spirit aren't working, but it was God's plan that they work. Notice I read, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation, that's the outworking, that's the operation of the gifts, are given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And it goes on to name 9 specific supernaturals. Now, I want you to understand these gifts are supernaturals. They are supernatural operations. They are supernatural power, and they operate supernaturally. They operate supernaturally. If they're not operating supernaturally in you, then they're not there. That means you have the gift of healing. You lay hands on somebody, and just like that, they're healed. That's happened so many times in my life. I give him the praise. Gorters have disappeared. I mean, wonderful things have occurred because of the gift of healing. It wasn't Joe Chambers. It wasn't my gift. It didn't belong to me. It belonged to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just found me at that moment usable. And so he used me and he performed a miracle of healing in somebody's life. Now, the church is supposed to be full of these 9 gifts of these operations. The church is supposed to be full of these 9 manifestations. 1, word of wisdom. 2, word of knowledge. Our preachers go to seminaries and get deceived by compromising teachers and compromising doctrines. And they come to the church with the wisdom of the seminary instead of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And our churches across America are full of human wisdom. They're doing human things. They operate in human power. And it's nothing but human. And no spiritual results can occur. I know preachers that will say they give a message in tongues. Or give a interpretation in tongues. But they never get healed. And nobody in their congregation ever gets healed. So the gift of tongues, they say, is there. But where's the gift of healing? Where's the working of miracles? The church, when I came into Pentecost in 1952, 66 years ago, it was on fire. I'm telling you, it was lightning. It was wonderful, orderly, very orderly. Wasn't a bunch of crazy, charismatic foolishness. People wasn't acting like they'd been given a degree in leprosy or some spirit of confusion take hold of them. You know, no. It was all so beautiful. The Holy Ghost operates in beauty. The Holy Ghost operates in loveliness, in gentleness, and mercy and kindness. The Holy Spirit is a masterful gentleman. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, that gift, those gifts, nine manifestations, all belong to the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to me and you and nobody else. I don't care how spiritual you are. You don't possess anything of these manifestations. They are always the operation of the Holy Spirit. They are always the manifestation of the person of the Holy Ghost. He is manifesting the power of Jesus Christ and making known to the church the power of God. Isn't that beautiful? I hope you love that as much as I do. I love that. I want that. And we have it to a degree, but not as profoundly as we ought to here at Paul Creek. But while we're staying on our faces for God to manifest his wonderful power. Miracles. He said one is the gift of miracles. Well, we'll get to all of that in a little bit. Let's talk about this operation. Let's make sure we understand the foundation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Understand the foundation. Now remember, the Holy Ghost is the third member of the triune Godhead. The Holy Ghost is doing the business of the Father and the Son on the earth in the church. The Holy Ghost is in the church, supposedly. This is where he comes to be. And he operates in the church and he manifests the redemptive powers of Jesus Christ. And that's what the nine gifts are. The nine gifts are the redemptive powers of Jesus Christ that was accomplished by him on the cross. Everything the Holy Ghost does is the work of the cross. Everything the Holy Ghost does is the manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ and his redemptive powers, his healing powers, his anointed powers, his great words of wisdom, his great words of knowledge. All the future is manifest in the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ manifest in the church by the Holy Spirit. Do you get that now? Let me say that again. That's powerful. That really is. All the revelations of the future. Let's talk about the rapture, the great tribulation period, the time of the Battle of Armageddon, when Christ comes back to the earth, sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. All of this operation of the gifts of the revelations of prophecy are the work of the Holy Spirit. And they operate in the church by the gifts. The words of wisdom, the words of knowledge. Somebody says, I can't preach on Revelation. I don't know enough about it. Well, then get on your face and stay there until the sweet Holy Spirit gives you a new and fresh baptism and you become the possession of the Holy Spirit. And he'll begin to reveal his prophecies and his revelations. And the great truths of the Bible will begin to flow out of you like a river. I mean, remember when the Lord spoke to me and told me that Hillary Clinton would never become the president of the United States. I ballyhooed that for 10 years, approximately. I don't remember the exact date, but it started way back when she first began to talk about being the president. And the Lord just showed me she would never be the president. And I wrote it in a booklet to put my name on it and sent it all over the world, I guess. I don't know where all it went, but many places. And people thought, that's crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. It's just not going to happen. She's not going to become the president because God said she's not going to become the president. And that won't me. That won't some wisdom that Joe Chambers had. That was simply the revelation of the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm trying to give you an example. I'm trying to show you that these gifts of the Holy Spirit are resident in the Holy Spirit. They're not resident in me. They're not resident in any of the greatest men there are in America or anywhere in the world. They're not resident in some great Holy Ghost-filled man that's given wonderful revelation. No. They're resident in the Holy Spirit. He just happens to be yielded. He spends enough time on his face in prayer. See, most preachers pray very little. You can't get them in the altar and keep them there for hours. A real man of God prays by the hours, not by the minutes, friends. I mean, If you're going to be usable of God, you're going to learn to listen to God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord. That word wait means they that entangle themselves with God in an ongoing prayer life, an ongoing life of fasting and surrender and devotion. And as they live before God hours in prayer, they come out of the presence of God with an anointing upon them. And then they begin to speak with power and authority. Most preachers today just preach with the knowledge they've got in some place of learning. And it may be good preaching. And it may be well, you know, documented in the Bible. But if it's not anointed, if there's not a move of the Holy Ghost that shakes you while he is or she is preaching, then, you know, it doesn't do a lot of good. The dead letter killeth, but the living letter maketh life. The dead letter killeth. Do you hear me? Dead preaching will kill a congregation. I mean, when the preacher gets through, it's just dead. And that's the preacher's fault. If the preacher gets on fire, it won't be dead when he quits preaching. I'm going to tell you that right now. It won't happen. Oh, his anointing is real. His anointing is real. Now, all services are going to be different, but I'm giving you truth the best I know how to give you. Now, no one possesses the Holy Ghost gifts. I want you to understand that all the way over my audience. Nobody possesses the gifts. The gifts are possessed by the Holy Spirit. They are his property. They are his manifestations operating within him and given to us. We're the vessel. We're the channel. We're the spokesman, like a telephone. He's flowing through us to manifest the words of the Lord. Now, you gotta pray. How can I become used by the gifts of the Spirit, you may be asking? Get on your face and stay there. I mean, learn to be a prayer warrior. Learn to pray the fire down. And you pray the fire down every day of the week, and you get in the pulpit on Sunday, you're going to be a ball of fire. You're going to be anointed with a streak of lightning. You're going to preach truth that'll burn the hearts of men and women. And the church is hungry for this. Everywhere I go, people are talking about how hungry they are for this old-fashioned outpouring. Whoa, I feel it while I'm talking. This old-fashioned outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Pentecostal churches used to be firehouses. I mean, people come in, they couldn't leave without getting under conviction. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands, millions through the years, got saved in Pentecostal churches. And then they all started joining the charismatic compromise, and the Bible no longer became the infallible word, and noise and the thunder became more important than the lightning. Notice that the thunder became more important than the lightning. Most churches just want some thunder. They'll get some good music, get the drums going, get everything rocking with music, and then they say we had a great Pentecostal service. No, you had a great hoopla. You had a great hoopla. Do you hear me? When the Holy Ghost moves and the lightning strikes, sinners get under conviction. Sinners get under conviction. The sick get healed. Miracles begin to take place. It becomes a firehouse for God. And the Spirit of God begins to change lives. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. I mean, there's not a Pentecostal out there probably that doesn't know I'm preaching to you what they used to hear over and over from their pulpits when the men of God was on fire and when they'd pray for hours. The church would meet during the week and the saints would pray. Ladies would come to the church and get together and have a prayer meeting. I remember when I came to Paul Creek, there was a group of ladies led by Moselle Sizemore and Dot Green and Miss Stogner and Hegler. Oh, I can go on and name a few of the names. Or Ruby Williams. I mean, these were great women. They'd get together and I'd meet with them and pray. And they literally had prayed me to Charlotte. They really had. And they took credit for that because they had prayed and prayed. And they'd pray for hours. And when they prayed, the Spirit of the Lord would move. It was beautiful. It wasn't a bunch of people with their face buried in an altar. It was people with their hands high crying out to the great God Jehovah. And I'm calling on our church and you and the whole audience that I'm preaching to get with it and let's become Holy Ghost filled. Now, these spirits are given to you. They are spirituals. Remember that. Don't just call them gifts. Call them spirituals. Okay? Don't just say nine gifts of the Spirit. Say nine spirituals of the Holy Ghost. Supernatural powers. Every gift of the Spirit, all nine, are supernatural. They do what you cannot do. They do what is beyond human hands to do. They do what is beyond human power to do. It's every bit a work of the Holy Spirit. It's every bit work of Jehovah God. You got to understand that. It's every bit a work of Jehovah God. And that's what the gifts of the Holy Ghost are. They are works of God that do supernatural things in the church, and they turn the church upside down. Now, he only uses holy saints. I want you to understand that. If you live a worldly life, don't come around me trying to be used by the gifts of the Spirit, because I'm going to look at you and stop you, you know, because I don't believe in godless people being used by the Holy Spirit. You got to live a godly life. You got to live like a godly person. You got to dress right. You got to act right. You got to talk right. Your whole life's got to be lived in a lifestyle of purity if the Holy Spirit's going to use you. You ask me, what has happened to the Pentecostal church world? I hear that all the time. I had a lady to call some time ago that lived in Las Vegas. Las Vegas. You know what a wicked place that is. And this lady said, Reverend Chambers, I got saved. At home, I mean, God got a hold of me. I used to know the Lord. I'd backslid, and I was miserable, and I came to Christ, and I started looking for church. And she said, I started going to the churches that call themselves Pentecostals here in Las Vegas, and I couldn't find nothing but a bunch of noise. I couldn't find nothing but a lot of emotion. I couldn't find nothing that resembled what I remember as a young girl when I lived for Christ with Mom and my dad and my family, and we were old-fashioned Pentecostals, and we had God in our life, and we lived a separated life, and we loved it. We lived it because we loved it. We didn't live something we didn't love. We lived it because we loved it, and God was real. And she told her story, and it made my heart break. She had found out about us. She had gone to a bookstore, and there was a used video up on the shelf, and she saw it, and it was talking about the false anointing, and she bought it and took it home. 50 cents, she said, I paid for it, and she said, I saw exactly what I was all heartbroken about. I saw what had happened to the church. It had become a charismatic mess, a lot of noise, a lot of Benny Hinn mysticism, you know, and it was wild, and it is wild. But I'm bringing you what is real, and because the real is fixing to appear again. See, that false has got to be judged. There was a great prophecy given about the time I got saved. And it was given by an old great man of God. And he stood up and said, the church is going to go through years of deception. All kinds of deceiving spirits is going to break through upon the charismatic Pentecostal world. And it's going to drive us insane. It's going to destroy the power of our church. But in the end, God is going to show up again. And the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move again. Hallelujah. And it's already happening in my life. And it's happening in this church. And there's a few others I know about that it's happening in. And they're waiting on God. They don't want noise. They don't want a bunch of people acting like they got epileptics. They don't want that. They want the real wisdom and the real conviction and the real healing powers and the transforming powers of the Holy Spirit moving through the church like lightning and changing multiplicity of lives. Now, please, I want to say again that Jesus Christ will always be the center of this. Jesus Christ will never be anything but the center. Nobody will be in the center. There won't be some big thing made about preachers. There won't be some big thing made about some great, you know, so-called prophet or prophetess. It'll be Jesus. Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. He's the center of a real Pentecost. He's the center. Now, the gift never becomes yours to possess. You can't say, I'll have the gift of healing. No, you can't. No, you can't. I have the gift of tongue. No, you don't have it. I tell you right now, all those gifts are in the Holy Spirit. He gives them to be manifest when He chooses. When He chooses. I know people that claim the gift of tongues. They can stop anytime, and if you don't give them a chance, they'll stop you so they can give their tongue because they have the gift. No, you don't have the gift. You've been deceived. The gifts are resident in the Holy Spirit, and He will move, and He never moves in the same way, and He doesn't use just the same person, and He doesn't give any particular person the right to claim possession of one of the gifts. The gifts are, and they do belong to the Holy Spirit. That is so important for you to remember. Now, let me tell you this, and this is important. When the Holy Spirit comes, he has his own language. You see, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost have a language. Let me get this thing off my arm here. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost have a language. It is called in the Bible unknown tongues. You'll find talk of that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. He says, when you speak in unknown tongues, nobody understands you. You don't understand, nobody understands, only God understands. That's because it's his language. It belongs to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the language they use to talk with one another. That's the language they use to talk with one another. And when the Holy Ghost moves upon you, he can either come and speak through you in unknown tongues, which is God's language, and that's straight to God. That's not for men to hear. Nobody can interpret that. That belongs to God. You're talking straight to him. But when you talk in other tongues, which are tongues of the world, you don't know them, but the Holy Spirit does, and he uses you to speak in that language, and then he gives someone else the interpretation. He gives someone else the right, or he may give you the anointing to interpret. I love the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. What is so sad is in most churches, that's the only two gifts you ever see. I know churches that they have those gifts all the time, but nobody ever gets healed and nobody ever has a miracle, and not even the preacher trusts God with his body but has to run to the doctors. That's because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to be dominant in our churches. When the Holy Ghost takes your church and really becomes powerful and dominant, you're going to be amazed at the gifts of healing. You're going to be amazed at people coming in under conviction. Wednesday night, we had a man to show up. We'd been by his home, and nobody remembered him. We probably only spoke to him at the door very momentarily, maybe even left a piece of paper there, and we didn't speak to him. He didn't say that, but he was under conviction already. We had a family 3 weeks ago, a man and woman, came in the church. We ready to get saved. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Ghost is working. We're going to see it in this community like it's never been. We know we've been out there knocking on doors one after the other, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And we're praying here every morning at 5:30 and 6 o'clock, and we believe in God to visit with his mighty power, a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. And every person who receives the baptism will speak in tongues. Now, that's that's being denied today. Many Pentecostal churches don't even want you speaking in tongues. They're not Pentecostal to start with. That's just the name they've taken. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak his language or he won't show up. The Holy Ghost is not going to come and just talk your language. He's going to come and talk his language. And you can put that down, brother, because that's in the book. That's in the book. Read it for yourself, Acts chapter 2, and then go on and read it in other places in Acts where they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, one thing you need to understand, when the Holy Ghost speaks, he gives the utterance, not you. You cannot manufacture the words and they be turned into the Holy Spirit. And that's been a big thing in the charismatic world. Just start speaking anything incoherent, it'll turn into tongues. Oh, no, it won't. It'll turn into foolishness and deception and all kinds of craziness. Oh, no. When he comes, he will give the language. He will give the inspiration. He will pour the words through you. And they will be his word. They spake in tongues as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2. They spake in tongues as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can read Acts 2, and you can see there were Jews there from every which way. I mean, it names nation after nation after nation that was in Jerusalem, and they heard these 120 speaking in their own language wherein they were born, the Bible says. Heard them speak in their language wherein they were born. And they said, what meaneth this? And Peter tells them, this is what Joel prophesied. He would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters would prophesy. Your old men would dream dreams, and your young men would see visions. Oh, my servants, would I pour out of my spirit? Friend, that's what it is. It's a pouring out of God. It's the miracle working power of God. I love it. I've been in it 66 years. I was saved at 16. I was filled with the Holy Ghost at 18 in a tent revival. And ever since then, the Holy Ghost has been as real in me as that sun up in the sky. I mean, is real. It is genuine. It is life-changing. There's no joy on the face of this earth that compares to the joy of a Spirit-filled life. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, you need to hear this. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they spoke in the unknown tongue of the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It wasn't unknown to them because that was the language in which they were given when they were created in the image of God. They were created in the image of God. So they spoke the Word of God, the language of God. And that's what happened at Babel, is God took away that heavenly language and gave them all kinds of earthly languages and spread it all over the face of the earth so they couldn't communicate with one another and build their temples to their own gods. And he stopped their foolishness. He really did. And he will stop the foolishness today. You got the same thing going. The world is a Babel. The Pentecostal world is nothing but a second Babel. That's all it is. A second Babel. And God, by the Holy Spirit, is about to appear. It may be before the rapture, it may be after. I don't really know. But when he appears in his transforming power, the Holy Spirit will be poured out again. And it will be the real Holy Spirit. And it won't be some, huckaboo, you know, whatever you want to say. Oh, what a day that's going to be. You know, I think Moses probably spoke in unknown tongues because God said to his brother and his sister in I read it just this morning and my mind is not clicking there. I'll get it. I'm not going to pass it up. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. That's not the right chapter. Let me go find it. I don't like to say something and not clear it up with you because I want you to go look it up. I want you to go look it up in the book of Numbers. There we go. And then it's chapter 12. You go to that and you'll find that God said that him and Moses talked to one another mouth to mouth. Numbers 12. Moses and God talked to each other mouth to mouth. That's what God said. That wasn't what he said. It wasn't what his brother Aaron said, his sister Marion said. It's what God said. He said, I talked to my prophets through visions and dreams. But to Moses, I talked to him mouth to mouth. Well, if it was mouth to mouth, it had to be tongue to tongue. I promise you. And so that's a beautiful truth. Now, it really is. Now, let me stop. I've been going for 30 minutes and I can go on. I taught this Wednesday night. I've preached it through the years. I love to talk about it. But I want to get to the nine gifts and talk about them a little bit. First, I want to ask you to call us. Let me get you on the phone lines at 1-800-338-7884. I'm a little bit hesitant to mess with this thing because I made such a mess while ago and I didn't mean to do that. Here's the numbers, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want questions about anything I've said. I want you to disagree with anything and make me prove it by the Bible. Is that fair enough? Make me prove to you in the Bible everything I've said. I like that. I want that. I am not a man who has all this wisdom. I can say things out of the air. I don't want nothing coming out of me out of the air. I want it coming out of this book and by the Holy Spirit because I want to teach you. Now grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588 and 1-800-338-7884. Now, the lines are open. A secretary is waiting right by, and they're ready for you to call them, and they will put you in here, and we'll talk about your question. And you can quiz me. You can criticize. You can come at me. I'm so used to criticism. I guess I'm tired of it. At 82, I've kind of had a lot of it in my life. My gracious, I've had a lot of it. And I got people that just don't like me. That's okay. I can't help that. I'm just going to do right. And I'm going to be God's man to the best of my ability. You understand? I'm going to be God's man to the best of my ability. Because we're in the end time, friend. It's about over. And I can't wait to cross that tide. Whew, what a day. What a day. What a day. Call now. Grab your phone. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. I want to answer your question. I want everybody out there to have a question, okay? Well, not everybody. I couldn't get to all of that. But whether you're listening by Facebook or whether you're listening on wherever, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're listening, I want you to be part of what we're doing. And I want to bless you. I want to bless you so bad. My heart yearns for that. And I yearn to make you hungry to be full of the Holy Ghost. I really yearn to make you hungry to be full of the Holy Ghost. I know of nothing that I am so anxious for as for you to be full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it'll change everything about your life. Now, the phone needs to be ringing. Ladies are standing by. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. You are important to us, and to be a blessing is the greatest joy of Brother Chambers' heart. It really is. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to help you grow, and I want to get you hungry. Now, 9 gifts. Now, remember, supernaturals. We're not just talking about gifts like a package with a ribbon around it. We're talking about gifts in that you don't earn them. You don't acquire them by your good works. They are manifestations of the Holy Spirit as He pleases, as He desires, as you are prepared to be used, as the congregation or the people you are ministering to has needs. Then the Holy Spirit knows the need, and He gives of the Holy Spirit as you are in need of. And it really is beautiful. Beyond measure, it's so beautiful. And I want with all of my heart for the Pentecostal world to get back to old-fashioned Pentecost. I want us to get back to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want us to get back to living the godly life that opens the way for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've had many Pentecostals. When I published the series on the false anointing, David Wilkerson called me from New York and said, "Brother Chambers, this is the most definitive stuff I have seen. God has used you to wonderfully lay out what this false anointing is all about." And he says, "I want you to send me 10 of these." It was videos back then. I'm going to send them to key leaders all over the Assembly of God. He was part of the Assembly of God. And the Assembly of God preachers began to call me. And they said, "Brother Chambers, what is wrong? How can we get back to the real?" And I said, "There's one way and only one way to get back to the real. And that's first, we've got to go back to Bible holiness. We've got to go back to Bible holiness. There will be no outpouring of the Holy Ghost where there's not Bible holiness. If you're in a church that has no holiness, but they're full of noise and full of thunder, then you can judge that thunder as just being a lot of thunder and not the real, because it's got to be in an atmosphere of pure godly living. It's got to be in an atmosphere of pure godly living. I hope you'll hear that. That's so important. But now, I got to get to these gifts. 9 of them. Do you understand? Do you understand? When you begin to talk about these gifts of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to look at them, it's an overwhelming feeling. 9 spiritual manifestations that are all supernatural. They're all bigger than life. They all are totally beyond the flesh, totally outside the realm that the flesh operates, totally the work of the Holy Spirit as He uses men and women. Now, what are these 9? Number 1 is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Number 2 is the word of knowledge. Let me look at those two together. The word of wisdom is the great revelations of God. The great revelations of God. The great understanding of what God is saying. It is the ability to proclaim prophetic truths from the book of Revelation. It is the ability to preach about the pre-trib rapture and the great events of the end time, and to do it in an orderly fashion that absolutely defies anybody denying what you're saying as being the truth. I mean, when I preach about the pre-trib rapture, there's nobody can prove that the pre-trib rapture isn't biblical. It is so full in the Bible. It is so powerful. But that's the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, the gift of wisdom that enables a preacher man to do that. And then the words of knowledge, the things of Christ, the great wisdom of his convicting grace, and how He takes the sinner and transforms a sinner and makes a saint of God out of him. Those are words of wisdom, friend. When you begin to tell people about the grace of God, it's indeed beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful. I would you could understand all of this and get it in your head. It'll change your life. Let me take a call here. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Dr. Chambers. I have a question today.
Okay.
The gift of word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge. Okay.
I'm wanting you to answer this question because it's so abused, the word of knowledge, in the charismatic realm especially. But how do we discern the difference when someone is giving us a word of knowledge, whether it is from God or whether it is from a man who is just discerning in his spirit what's going on in a person's life?
The word of knowledge will be intimately tied to the Bible. Every time a word of knowledge comes, it has to come on the basis of the Scripture. But that's also true of the word of wisdom. These are not independent areas of wisdom and knowledge separate from the Bible. They are intimately tied to the Bible. And a person who goes to a seminary for 4 years will get what professors think about the mighty interpretation of the Scripture. This is where you get the NIV Bible. This is where you get the many different versions of the Scripture. These are people using their own knowledge and their own wisdom rather than going straight to the Bible and getting exactly and discerning. See, the Bible is given by the revelation of God, and it must be understood by the revelation of God. If it came by the Holy Spirit, then men cannot teach you what the Holy Ghost said and stay on target. But when the Holy Ghost anointing comes upon you, and you have the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge, you will discern in the Scripture and say things that you never thought about. They're there, but you don't see them until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and opens up the mind to a revelation that God has given, and then it becomes perfectly biblical and perfectly understandable.
Thank you, Pastor, for that answer. That was wonderful. I appreciate that very much.
Well, some time ago, I was preaching one Sunday morning, and I was just excited. I was preaching about Jesus getting on that white stallion up in heaven and coming out of heaven on that white stallion with the great raptured saints coming behind him. And I mentioned that he would have on he would wear a cape dipped in blood, and it suddenly hit me. That cape dipped in blood was blood from the altar in heaven that he had placed there after his crucifixion. So he had dipped his own cape in his own blood on the altar of heaven. And I'm telling you, I like to went up in smoke. It was the most wonderful moment I can ever remember when a revelation from God just suddenly grabbed me and saturated me. I never thought about that. I never heard nobody even think about that. But suddenly the Holy Ghost said it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's words of wisdom and words of knowledge always tied to a clear understanding of the Bible.
Yes, sir. I believe that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
All right. Give us a call now. That's good. Those are kind of questions that can really make us understand what we mean by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Ghost taking us beyond the human intellect. Taking us beyond what we can grasp by our own human understanding. And taking us into a realm where it's actually supernatural. Where God begins. I preached a Sunday, was it last Sunday? I preached something that I've never seen before. I mean, I'd been in the altar on a day or two earlier. And suddenly it dawned on me the healer is inside of every Holy Ghost filled vessel. The healer is inside. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the healer dwelling in you. If he's really there and he's really ruling you, the healer is ruling you. Then you don't need hands laid on your head to be healed. All you need to do is yield yourself to this Holy Ghost that you're baptized with, and the healing is in him. It's the Holy Spirit who applies all the redemptive powers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just overwhelmed. And it overwhelmed the congregation. Because those are words of wisdom. Are words of knowledge that come by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not tooting my horn. I am nothing. I am so nothing until I get disgusted with me. But I sure believe in the Holy Spirit. And I sure trust His power and His anointing and His greatness. Hey, grab your phone. Those kind of questions will help us all. They really will. Now, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, you got that? And that question was good. Then, how about the gift of faith? You know, everybody I know wrestles with faith. Faith is one of those great forces. I mean, faith is powerful. The Bible said if he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is not easy. Faith is never, we have a little bit of faith when we are born. We have a little more as we get saved. Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then this kind cometh not, but by fasting and prayer. That's the deeper levels of faith. And faith keeps on, and it will grow and grow. But there is a gift of faith. And this is when the Holy Ghost comes on you in a moment of need. And you pray, and faith just takes over. Faith just takes over. I'll never forget my brother down in Florida. He's with the Lord now, Brother Eugene Smith. He had this, I always forget some of these things, but he had this thing that wrapped around him. It's a nerve problem, and he just broke out all over his midriff. He was just an aching, painful situation. What do we call it? I'm trying to say it. Can't say it. And anyhow, he suffered months. He suffered months. One night about 10 o'clock. I'm praying, and the Holy Ghost says to me, call Eugene Williams and pray for him. Well, I got the phone. I knew he went to bed at 9 because he goes to church and pray it early in the morning. He's with the Lord now, you understand. But he was a great prayer warrior. I loved him dearly. I called him, and his wife said, Brother Chambers, I am so glad you called. He is suffering horribly tonight. And she said, I'll get the phone to him. And she took the phone to him, and we prayed. And right then, it was that night, God healed him. God healed him. Well, I prayed for him before, but that night the gift of faith went to work. See, or maybe it was the gift of healing. Maybe it was both put together. I don't know. But all nine gifts are to function in his people. I can humbly say to you that all nine gifts of the Holy Ghost have worked in my life, have operated in my life. None of them at every time, and none of them all the time. And I possess none of them. I'm just his. I belong to him. And when his gift comes upon me, praying for a sick, you can rest in it. They're going to be healed right then and right there. And I've had many miracles through the years, more than I could ever count and remember. And I'm always remembering one. Had something happen recently. You may have seen it on Facebook. There was something on Facebook about, I don't know, I think it's something about me. I don't remember. I don't remember who put it up there. But I remember a lady sent an email. And she said, I want to tell something that happened 25 years ago. She said, I went to Mercy Hospital to take my little girl who was 2 years old. And she was suffering terribly. Her fever was 105. She was near the point of death. We thought we was going to lose her. And we heard you on the other side of ER, emergency room. We heard you somewhere in the building praying. And my little girl said real low, she's only 2 years old, I want that man to pray for me. And she said that low. Well, I didn't know anything about it. I certainly didn't hear it. But when I had finished praying for the person I prayed for, I was walking down the hall, and I was walking down a particular hall that I felt like going through. And I said out loud, somebody in this place, some child, wants me to pray for them. And I just spoke it out loud, and the mother came running out of her room. She's so excited because the Holy Ghost had directed me by her room. And she said, it's my little girl, Reverend Chambers. It's my little girl. And I went in, and of course, God healed her, and that was the end of her problem. And she wrote 25 years later to tell about it. I'd never met her. She was a minister's daughter. It was not somebody I made acquaintance with. I didn't leave my name and address. I didn't leave my phone number. I wasn't looking for somebody to be ballyhooing over me. I was thanking God for his miracle working power. And I'm here to tell you, this time has come again for these kind of great miracles. And many of you out there can get miracles now if you'll get your heart set on believing God to manifest his power in your direction. He's a God of supernatural power, and he's looking for people to use. I want to be used, but I want many people to be used. Every preacher listening to me, I hope God will shake you until you fall on your face and stay there. Don't you pray little 10-minute prayers and think you're going to get anywhere. You're going to have to get before God and do some staying on your altar. You're going to have to get self on the altar. The old man's got to die. The old self has got to die. Did you hear me? There's got to be a crucifixion in your life before the Holy Spirit really goes to work on you. And I'm hungry for it. Well, faith, we're not getting through. Then the gifts of healing. This is any kind of healing that's needed. Cancer, it don't matter. He's the healer. He can remove a garter in a flash of lightning. He can heal of cancer in just a moment of time. He can heal you of arthritis. He can heal you of anything you got. There's nothing you got that he can't heal. There's nothing you got he can't heal. I'm here to tell you, when the sickness is in your body, the healer is ready to make you well. And he is the healer. And then miracles. What are miracles? It could be raising the dead. It could be any kind of creative miracle. A withered arm is made whole again. Jesus used to do that, and he's done it many times through the years. It could be any kind of creative miracle that you need, or it may be relating to your church. It may relate to somebody that you're praying for. It may relate to a son or daughter who is going through hell under drugs or whatever, and God so uses you that a miracle occurs in that son or daughter's life. Can you listen to me, mamas? Listen to me, daddies. You've got sons on drugs. You've got kids that got into sodomy, lesbianism, and you say, what in the world do I do? You pray till God gets a hold of I feel the Holy Ghost when I'm telling you this. You pray till God gets a hold of you, and the gift of the Spirit goes to work in you, and you will see a miracle in your son and in your daughter. He's the miracle worker. He is never going to let you down. He's never going to let you down. He's going to show you his power and his majesty. And I pray for that. And then the gift of prophecy. That's when the Holy Ghost comes on you to give words of truth in the Bible, applying them to human hearts. Applying them to human hearts. Prophecy will encourage you. It will enlighten you. It will strengthen you. It will give you a new thrust of life. It is just wonderful. Discerning of spirits. Tongues, an interpretation of tongues, 9 supernaturals. Now, I got 11 minutes, and I got plenty of time for some calls during these 11 minutes. What would you ask about the gift of healing? How can you become a person that God can use you? I want to be used of God, Brother Chambers. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me, how do I need to pray? What do I need to get after? What do I need to change about my life? I want to be a Holy Ghost anointed person. I want to be full of the Spirit of God until it's like lightning living in me and working the work of God in me. I want to be a man in that pulpit that shakes the congregation and sinners run to God. Well, I want to be that too. And I'm waiting on God for such an anointing as I've never, and it's growing. You be here tomorrow. You be here tomorrow and see what God's doing and see what he maybe wants to do in your life. We're seeing it as we visit all over these communities. God is shaking people. God is shaking people. And we're just beginning to see it. We've been out there for over a year now, nearly a year and a half. And I told the men when we started, now, you won't see any results for over a year to amount to anything. But then about a year to 2 years, it'll begin to ricochet. It'll begin to return to us. It'll begin to come down the pipes, and you'll begin to see results. And that's been true, and we're beginning to see it. And we're just starting, really. We're just getting started. We're reaching for you all over our radio audience. I've had so many people that have hated me. I never could figure out why. I don't know why it's true, but I think anytime you're really an old-fashioned man of God, people just tend to not like you around them. They get sick of you because you disturb their peace of mind. I guess, I don't know, but I know one thing: God is moving, and all the enemies are going to be brought back, and God's going to forgive them. God's going to forgive them, and great things are about to happen. I'm so excited. You can tell. How can I get more excited? I'd come out of your TV or your internet into your face if I was more excited. Because I'm telling you, we're close to the coming of the Lord, and it's time for Holy Ghost revival. I'm looking for a miracle right now that's going to shake this place. I'm looking for a miracle I've been praying for. It's a miracle, and I've been praying for it. And I'm believing God to give it to me. If he don't give me that one, he'll give me nothing. But no, I'm not going to say if he don't, because he's going to. And I don't mean to express any kind of doubt. I know we serve a mighty God, and he cares about you, and he loves you. Now, I've said a lot of things today. about the gifts, nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Can you write this down in your mind now? There are nine supernaturals. Every gift is supernatural. Every gift is beyond the human, beyond the natural, beyond the natural limitations. Every one of them. They are supernatural operations. They are beyond you. You cannot be used by any gift of the Spirit on your own. You can't choose it. You can't say, I possess it. You can't say it's mine. Every time the Holy Spirit moves on you or through you, it is His operation. And He gets the glory. He gets the credit. Him and the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, at the center of all the credit and the glory. Always remember that. And so you don't possess anything. You say, no, you don't. Don't you think such a foolish thing? Somebody lied to you. You don't have no gift. The Holy Spirit has the gifts. They're all in Him. They're all resident in the Holy Spirit. And He gives them to you. They manifest through you. And listen, there's nobody out there that God don't want to use. If you've been born again, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but the manifestation of the Spirit, manifestation, that means the revealing, the outworking of the Holy Spirit is given to every man and woman, that means every man and woman, to profit with all. To profit. What do you mean profit? To see the profit of the kingdom. To see people changed, to see lives saved. You can be used to heal the people who work around you. You can be used to see miracles with your children. You can have a word of wisdom. I remember building churches. How many times did my wisdom come to the end of itself? And I'd have to pray for a word from the Lord, how to do something, how to take care of something, how to handle a problem, how to solve a situation. And I've never known Him to fail me. Man, He has done so many things like this for me. I don't deserve it. I really don't. And when I bring an end to this, when God brings an end to this journey of my life, I can hardly wait for the beauty at the end of the road, because all of these years have been His, and I've labored for Him diligently. And I don't care what you hear about me. I promise you, if it's criticism or darkness, pay it no attention, and let's just work for God. The coming of the Lord is at the hand. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I mean, God is wanted to do things for us like He's never done. And every one of you, I love you. There's not a one out there. I don't care who you are. I love you. And I have no desire for anything for you but the mercy of God and the beauty of God and the power of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, quit running from God and quit running from what God wants out of you and quit running from that which would change your life. And let God get a hold of you. And let God do something in you that will never, never, never end. Really, the spiritual things never end. It's carnal things that just have a moment and they're gone. Pleasures of the world, they come and go. They leave you tired instead of blessed. The pleasures of the world leave you tired instead of blessed. I promise you. But the pleasures of the Lord just grow and grow and grow and get bigger and better and greater and more wonderful. And you just don't want to be without them. They will change everything about you. You will be thrilled to everything God does in your life. He's the miracle worker. Are you hearing me? He's the miracle worker. And He will work His miracles in you for His honor and for His glory. Oh, I've loved this broadcast today. I'm sorry for the rough beginning. That 5 minutes will be eliminated. I think if I can make sure they are eliminated, I guess they will be, at least on the internet, if not on Facebook. And if not in the, I guess they'll still be in the CD that I'm making. But I want to tell you, friend, the things of God are wonderful. The things of God are wonderful. I want you to enjoy them. I want you to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Chambers, you're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not in a church that believes that and preaches that, but you made me hungry for it. Can I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you are born again, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're willing to give your vessel. Now, you see, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, He takes possession of your temple. He takes possession of your temple. And he's already inside if you're saved, but he takes dominion over your vessel. He takes control of your vessel. You're giving yourself to Him. He cannot baptize you in the Holy Ghost if He doesn't own you. if he doesn't possess you, if you're not his property, if you're not his vessel, if you've not given yourself to his lordship, there's no way the Holy Ghost can baptize a person who is not the possession of the Lord. Because you got to first be his, saved by the blood, and then set apart by the sanctifying grace. And once you are set apart to him, and he is in control, and you give yourself to him, then he's ready to baptize you and to take control of you. Now, you've got to hear me when I tell you. You've got to hear me. He cannot baptize you until he's in control of you, until he possesses you. And when he's possessing you, you can't keep him out. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Ghost is in charge of you and you belong to him and you're set apart and your temple is the temple of God and he's living in you and he's the Lord of your life, the Holy Ghost will automatically, at the right moment, it may be in the night, it may be riding down the road in the automobile, it may be singing in the choir, it may be listening to a sermon on Sunday morning, but when you are his, he will come in and possess you. But he can't possess you until you're his. And the reason many of you can never get the Holy Ghost, I know people who prayed for the Holy Ghost all their life just about, and they never will get the Holy Ghost because God don't possess them. God don't control them. God don't own them. They still live in self. Well, I got to go. Don't miss church in the morning. Hey, I need your help. I need a miracle financially. And I need a good tree man. I got a big old tree in my yard, and I can't find nobody to clean it up. I need a yard man, a tree man, and I need you to be in church tomorrow. And I need you to be a giver to our ministry. We love the work of God, and we want you to be a part of it. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to get in the middle of us and let God bless you and be a part of us and give to this ministry. It'll bless you. It'll bless you.
Sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. And time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand, and there.